This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for July 22nd, 2011. I'm Natalie Pynchon. I will be reading a summary of some of the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery today. The topics of the articles featured in this podcast are surgical technique, diagnostic and operative techniques, and traumatic brain injury. Patency, flow, and endothelialization of the sutureless eczema laser-assisted non-occlusive anastomosis technique in a pig model. A laboratory investigation by Tristan van Dormaal and colleagues. The author studied the flow, patency, and endothelialization of sutureless eczema laser-assisted non-occlusive anastomosis, or SELANA, in a porcine model. SELANA is a simple, sutureless form of the conventional eczema laser-assisted non-occlusive anastomosis, or ELANA, technique. It facilitates a non-occlusive end-to-side anastomosis in approximately 7 minutes. The authors used the same porcine model that was used earlier to compare ELANA with conventional anastomoses. In 38 pigs, a bypass was made with two SELANAs on the left common carotid artery, using the right carotid artery as a graft. The pigs were allowed to survive for various lengths of time in different groups until a maximum of 6 months. No SELANA device-related complications occurred during surgery. All bypasses were patent directly after surgery. Bypass patency at follow-up was 87%, which is identical to earlier ELANA results. The mean SELANA bypass flow was not significantly different from earlier ELANA results. Re-endothelialization was completed after approximately 3 weeks, compared to 2 weeks in the earlier ELANA study. The authors conclude that the SELANA technique does not seem inferior compared to the current ELANA technique regarding patency, flow, and re-endothelialization. A pilot study in patients is a logical next step. The authors believe that SELANA will also find applications in other fields of medicine besides cerebral revascularization because of its ease of use and its potentially minimally invasive character. Prevalence and natural history of pineal cysts in adults. A clinical article by Wajd Al-Holu and co-authors. Patients with pineal cysts discovered on imaging are often referred to neurosurgeons for clinical evaluation. These authors have previously reported on the prevalence and natural history of pineal cysts in children. In this article, they evaluated the records of over 48,000 consecutive adult patients undergoing intracranial imaging to define the age-related prevalence and natural history of pineal cysts in adults. Pineal cysts measuring greater than 5 millimeters were found in 478, or 1%, of these individuals. The peak prevalence was highest in the youngest adult age group and decreased throughout the adult age range. Women had a significantly increased prevalence of pineal cysts compared to men. None of these patients were considered symptomatic, and none were treated for the pineal cyst. On follow-up imaging of 151 patients with pineal cyst at a mean interval of 3.4 years from the initial study, most cysts were unchanged. 4 were bigger and 23 were smaller. Larger cysts were more likely to decrease in size. When this information is combined with the prior work of these authors on the prevalence and natural history of pineal cysts in children, the results suggest that pineal cysts are common, almost always inconsequential, are incidental findings that usually arise and grow during childhood, reach a period of relative quiescence, and then involute later in adulthood. Genu of corpus callosum as a prognostic factor in diffuse axonal injury. A clinical article by Hidetoshi Matsukawa and co-workers. Previous studies have shown a relationship between a patient's stage of diffuse axonal injury and outcome. However, few studies have assessed whether a specific lesion or type of corpus callosum lesion influences outcome in patients with diffuse axonal injury. The authors investigated the effect of various diffuse axonal injury and corpus callosum lesions on one-year outcome in 78 consecutive patients. The one-year outcome was evaluated using the extended Glasgow Outcome Scale. A single diffuse axonal injury was defined as only one of the three lesions, lobar, corpus callosum, or brainstem. Dual axonal injuries were defined as two of these lesions, and triple diffuse axonal injuries were defined as all three of them. Furthermore, the authors defined single, dual, and triple corpus callosum injury by using three lesions, genu, body, splenium, in the same way. Among the aforementioned lesions, regardless of others, only the genu lesion was related to disability. The results of this study suggest that the types of corpus callosum lesions, specifically lesions on the genu, and not the stage and multiplicity of diffuse axonal injuries, predict poor outcome in patients with diffuse axonal injury. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the newly launched American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.